Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what'd it do?
Hello?
Ahoy!
What's up?
I almost forgot to turn my mic on there.
What are you guys doing?
All right, I got
What if I talk like that the whole show?
I got distracted.
Hey, what are you guys doing?
Hey,
I think that's a great trade.
Witty in the Bud in the morning. No one thinks that's a great trade, by the way. No one.
Why not?
Unless you're an Oklahoma City fan.
Well, yeah. So they do.
Only the... Well,
Alex Caruso for Josh Giddey. Who cares? Go. Why should I care? Go.
Because it just is a bit puzzling. Should you care?
Yeah.
Probably not.
I mean, I don't care.
You don't care.
Who cares?
But
like, to me, it seems like, because I don't really watch the NBA.
NBA guy cares.
It seems like it's a pretty nice little straight up trade.
No one else thinks
so. I couldn't even tell you who Caruso plays for or played for. I know the last time I
Bulls.
Knew he was playing for the Lakers.
Bulls? He plays for the Bulls.
Yeah, he plays for the Bulls.
Yeah. There you go.
And I like him. I've seen more of him than Giddey, so therefore I'm going to grade the trade slightly in favor of Oklahoma's. Didn't the Thunder get Caruso, obviously?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they won the trade by a little bit, only because I know that Josh Giddey perhaps sexually assaulted someone.
No, he did. He committed, he was raped. He was statutory raping.
But he didn't know he was doing it allegedly.
Yes, he did.
Allegedly.
Wait. The family didn't care and they paid him off.
Okay, well then the Bulls win, the Thunder win the trade. Come on, how can the Bulls take that guy?
Jettison a pedophile? Yeah.
What's the deal with him?
Well, he was sleeping with like a 16-year-old.
Gross.
And then she was posting about it like online and like bragging about it. And then they
Would
were like.
Did she post offline though?
She probably post offline. Yeah.
Well, she did it as a flex. I think she was 17 and she literally got on her Snapchat or Insta story and she had a picture of her like kind of shirtless covering it up and he was standing behind her and the caption just says, I just effed Josh Giddey.
Posting offline would be like if you took Polaroids and then put it up. You know, like when you go to those diners.
No.
And like they just, you know, they
like
post.
Like the Village Inn?
Yeah, and they post like ads like pressure washing, like near the register. I'm guessing that would be posting offline. Like, I just blanked Josh Giddey. Here's my Polaroid. And then you just stuck it at like Valerie's Diner. Yeah, that would, you know, that would be posting offline.
Well, so whatever happened with that then?
The family just disappeared and was like, and so Josh Giddey was like, here's a check. Here's a bunch of money. And,
well, that's really gross.
Yeah.
And authorities kept being like, do you want to press charges? You sure you don't want to press charges? They're like, nope, we're good.
So how is the league not, I mean.
Well, there's nothing they, I mean. There's
because the victims wouldn't cooperate.
No one would cooperate. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
So
it's no longer a he said, she said. It's a he said, she shut up.
Exactly. Look, when in doubt,
she got paid.
We've learned this. You know, Greg Hardy did this. Kobe Bryant did this.
That's how it works when you're rich.
If you write a big enough check.
Merry Christmas, bitch.
Things tend to go away. Now, the question is, what's the size of the check? We'll never know, but, you know, it works.
Now, was she. Oh, what? It says Australia age of consent is 16. Is that right? He's Australian?
Yeah, but I think it happened in, like, Newport Beach.
Yeah, it wasn't in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was here.
Look, I'm trying to be fair.
I don't know what to... Look, he
likes... To the great Josh Giddey.
He's creepy.
Maybe not great now.
Some people, like, the level of justification follows. This is what I heard from, like, Oklahoma City fan and Josh Giddey fan.
Okay.
Well, he's only 22.
Mm-hmm.
And if she was 16 or 17... It's really like you look at the age difference.
Look at what Belichick's doing right now. How's that any different?
It's not that weird.
Well,
so.
She's of age. That's how it's different.
Well, you know.
I know. I'm saying what the justifiers say.
Well, I was just telling the justifiers.
Either way.
There is a pretty stark difference.
The weirder part about it is that Chicago had, like, Alex Caruso was someone that almost every NBA team wanted. He's an two-time all-defensive player.
Very good player.
Shoots the three ball. He is the
Like, he's bald and he wears a he's white, bald, and he wears a headband.
Yeah,
and that right there.
He's white
is enough.
And he's not just white; he's like extra white
to make him what I like to call dope.
You know, he's a real cerebral player. Not a lot of talent, but he's
gym
smart.
Gym rat,
gritty,
slaps the floor. But you got an all defensive player two times, shoots the three ball, and everyone wanted Caruso last year at the trade deadline, giving them multiple picks.
Okay.
And Chicago was like, nah, we're not doing that. And then this offseason, there was some like, well, if they didn't trade him then, I don't know if they'll trade him now. And then you trade him to Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City has 8,000 draft picks. By the way, they have draft picks in this year's draft, which no one wants. They have 4 first-round picks in next year's draft that everyone wants. And you get Josh Giddey out of it? A guy, by the way, that in the playoffs, I don't know if you saw, Oklahoma City couldn't put on the floor. They literally sat his ass on the bench because he was so ineffective and was a liability. So it's a little... Most people that follow the NBA right now, I think Danny was going to have a stroke.
Who runs the Bulls?
Who runs the Bulls?
Is it still Jim Paxton?
I don't know who
runs... That's how far out of touch I am.
I don't know who runs the Bulls.
Well, he's an idiot.
Mark Eversley.
Who's that? Fire him.
He's the Bulls GM.
Fire him!
And then Trajan Langdon fired Monty Williams while we were off the air.
I saw that yesterday.
And was like, they gave that dude like $78 million. He didn't want to coach. He said, I don't know which is more bizarre. The fact that you turned down a bunch of really good offers for Alex Caruso and then took a crappy offer for Alex Caruso. I'm not sure which is weirder. That... Or Monty Williams being like, no, I'm taking the year off. I'm not coaching. And the lame-ass Detroit Pistons being like, no, we want you to coach. And Monty Williams saying, no, I'm not coaching. And they're like, how about $78 million? And he's like, cool,
no,
I'll coach.
No.
And then a year later, they're like,
no.
Fired. And here, by the way, is like $68 million to not coach. So you look at the money he's getting to not coach in New Orleans and the money that he's not getting to coach.
You got to love the NBA.
Monty Williams is the greatest American of all time.
Well, he is great. He's, you know, a former Blazers
love
guy.
Love Monty Williams.
He was a really nice guy when he was here. And
should they go get him right now?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely,
punt on
yes.
chance and go get Monty?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes.
I never even thought about that. Yes. 100
right?
times.
Right? I mean...
More.
400 times. More.
Yeah.
500 times over, probably.
They are giving
100
him...
100 times?
More.
200 times?
More.
500 times?
Probably.
They are giving him... I got to find out what the Suns are giving him.
What?
But the...
He's had a rough go, too. Remember his wife
yeah,
died?
His wife died.
In a car accident.
And that's why he was going to take the year off. And the Pistons were like, no, here's all the cash. And then Trajan Langdon came in and was like, no, but here's $65 million. I just, 1 year into like a 6 or 7 year deal.
Although, you know what I read? I read that decision came from the ownership level, that it wasn't the GMs who wanted it. So I don't know if he rubbed people the wrong way, or it sounds like it might have been taken out of personnel's hands.
You would think $65 million would be enough to smooth it over for another year or two.
Yeah.
Can I just
I'm
going to stute for the record.
Do it.
That, from what I know of Monty Williams, that guy gives zero Fs. And so he, in other words, I think he, it's possible that there was some friction with ownership because
maybe.
Monty's like, dude, you want me to coach your team? Let me coach your damn team.
Yeah. And
I'll get out of my biz.
And I'll say this too,
dude.
I'm not saying Monty Williams did this. I'm saying from the Gospel of Sukanik.
I have a Josh Giddey update.
Okay. If I had a guaranteed $78 million. You know who else wouldn't give an F of what management thought of him?
100%.
This guy.
Yeah.
This is why you can't give that sort of guaranteed money unless, like, you're like, hey, come hell or high water, we're going to let this play out, even if it's a disaster. Because you give me $78 million, and then, like, 6 months, and by the way, I'm coaching this crappy-ass squad that you gave me, and you're giving me flack about a losing streak? I'm like, really? This is my problem? No. You gave me dog ass. I'm trying to do something about it, but it's going to take some time. And they're like, we're going to let you go. And I'm like, cool. By the way, $20 million from Phoenix. He is getting paid right now.
Wait a minute.
He will receive $85 million to not work.
You know, that's more than Mel Tucker.
Yes. That is more than Mel Tucker.
Now, wait,
although Mel's getting nothing.
I always thought when you got another job, you had to give back the money from the old job that you were collecting.
In the NFL, there's offset language. I don't know off the top of my head what the offset language is in the NBA and what it is in contracts.
That's why the Tear Bear is sitting out there.
Yeah.
Because he just sitting on a Blazers pile of cash forever.
But he was taking an assistant job.
Well, he did, finally. But then he left that. And now he's probably sitting on another pile of money. You know, I mean, like, I don't know. Seems smart to me. I want to be an NBA coach. I should have been an NBA coach. And I would have been so bad, but because I don't know anything.
Yeah.
But then they would still pay me.
Dude, where you can show promise, like, once or a little bit of potential and then get way overpaid and then fired for not living up to that? That sounds great.
I love it when Kurt Rambis? He would take the Minnesota job. And it would be for, like, you know, 4 years for, like, $11 million. Everyone's like, why the hell is Kurt Rambis? You know, he's just sitting there like.
Just counting his money.
He's like, $11 million, bitches. I don't have to work again. Now, Monty's sitting there. I'm looking into the offset to see. But even if Phoenix got offset, as long as he doesn't coach again, he's still getting the 65 from Detroit.
Do you think he's just doing bits? Keeps getting hired and then gets himself fired so he can just collect guaranteed money.
Be amazing.
I'd respect it.
Pull a Costanza and just show up to work every day but not do anything and be like, hey, if you need me, I'll be in my office. Don't pull it. And here's what I'm thinking. If you're Detroit, were you just sending hots at him left and right? Like because, you know, Ime Udoka, he got canned for the little, you know, what have you with some
side option.
Do you think Detroit wanted him out? So they just were like sending just a bevy of hots, like just throw, like, come on, make a mistake. And Monty Williams is like, nice try. $65 million, baby. Let's go.
Josh Giddey update.
Yeah.
Because I want to be fair.
Yeah.
According to an article published this past Saturday, this is last year, Giddey had a very short relationship with the woman.
Mm-hmm.
With suggestions, it was a one-night stand. Giddey was 19 at the time, and the report states he believed the girl was the same age, but that she was allegedly 15 and had lied about her age.
He was 19? I thought this was like a year ago. He's like 22.
I think it came out a year ago.
Wow. Yeah. So, you know, that takes a little of the sting off. I also think that lowers the price for her.
Yeah.
You don't get as much.
I don't think so, because my guess is they still went to him and was like, you're going to be in some trouble.
Yeah, I know, but...
like, you're never going to play in this league again.
Yeah.
If you lie about the... like, surely there's a discount.
I would think so, right? Probably. And then there's the Wander Franco situation where, you know, he gone.
Well, that's another... That's a whole other... Now, see, that... Yeah. That's a whole... He's kicked out of baseball for good. Yeah, like, he'll never play again.
No.
Josh Giddey, I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's
fine. This is not the same thing.
Well, now he's in Chicago.
Now he's in Chicago where careers go to die. Am I right?
Dude, I'll tell you right now, if you're Alex Caruso, think about that lineup you're rolling out there.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That defensive lineup, good Lord.
That'll be fun.
The Dorcher Chamber, and now you got Alex Caruso.
The Dorcher Chamber,
Bringing some what along with Chet Holmgren to that squad.
Well,
Caruso is right. You would think like you'd get like a little bit of a base tan, you know.
No, he's a gym rat. There's no sun in the gym.
No sun.
Got to do drills, bro.
Yeah, he's not street hooping. No. That's straight in the gym.
All right. Well, we were not here yesterday. If you guys didn't know, we were off.
That's why we're sports and so hard.
For Juneteenth. And
yeah, you went to a Vampire Weekend concert.
I did. And it was great. And by the way, I have tales from Vampire Weekend.
Oh, did we get an over under?
Well, you set the over under on black people at 4.5.
4.5.
Well, I thought it was 3.5.
No,
4.5.
No, he set it at 4.5.
4.5.
And my wife was on the lookout as well. So we had six eyes on the.
We were trying to determine if Isaac Rob did the whitest thing possible on Juneteenth.
Well, now you go into a rich country club and playing golf. Yeah. I mean, that's up there too.
You've got to kick him off the tour.
To be fair, I do know for a fact that that country club has two Asians and a black. There's one black guy and there's two Asians.
Okay.
So
black, please. Thank you.
That is.
Please and thank you.
That is there.
Okay, listen, I have the official tally,
mm-hmm.
and I will get that to you later.
All right.
But it was a great show. They played in Bend at the Hayden Holmes Amphitheater. Beautiful night last night.
I saw them at one of the December Remember shows a few years ago.
Well, they did that. That was an acoustic show.
Yeah, they were great.
They were fantastic. Vampire Weekend is one of my favorite bands, and they did not disappoint last night. And thanks to Mark Hamilton from 94.7 for hooking me up with tickets and their tour manager, Michael, whom I don't know, but he got us backstage, dude.
What?
I was hanging out with Vampire Week. What? Well, not really.
Okay, well, but yeah, really. I know. There's a difference between being
they
backstage.
They were back
yeah,
there, yeah. And I was back there. Yeah,
that happens a time or two. There's a difference between being there and then, like, being in, like, in the cool, like,
yeah.
back room.
Well, like, there was no dressing room access because they all have trailers
yeah,
out there.
Yeah.
But I did go back that way, mm-hmm. and I saw something that I thought was funny.
Oh. All
right. And I want to tell you about it.
Yeah.
I also... Again, these are all teases. We can't do any of this now, okay? No. We're very big into sports here, so we got to get to sports talk. But this will be in the club. My wife was very uncomfortable backstage, and I want to know your thoughts, because I think it's absurd that she was uncomfortable.
Hmm. All right, I'm intrigued now.
And I was not. I'm like, dude, they gave us these passes. Mm. Let's see what's up back here.
I think I may... I,
she was like, this is so weird. I don't feel... Am I in the way? I... Yeah.
I can,
like, babe.
I got.
So
some...
I kicked her out.
You gave her the heave.
No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. But we had a good time. So
see, I've got. We need to talk about this because I think I've experienced what your wife is going through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get started with our poll question up next on The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's 3:20 with Isaac and Sue. We have a lot to catch up on because we were not here yesterday celebrating Juneteenth. Report on that later.
Shamefully, but... in the widest ways possible.
Excuse me.
We need to be better.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay? Are you dying?
No. Not that I know of.
Oh, I'm hurt.
Here is our poll question today on X at 1080 The Fans, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business, helping families for over 60 years, AAAIAQ.com. Friday, wait, not Friday. Felt like a weekend. So Tuesday, we asked you, which coach under the age of 40 is the best? Sean McVay winning that poll at 43%. Dan Lanning on his heels, nipping at his little football heels, 39%.
Football cleat heels.
Joe Mazzulla way back there at 10%. And no love for D'Amico Ryans, who only gets... 8% of the vote.
Sad. Poor D'Amico.
Today, we are asking you the following. Again, it's on X at 1080 The Fan. The only thing that we ask is when you vote, please vote hard.
Mm-hmm.
With the passing of Willie Mays, who is the greatest living baseball player?
Ooh.
Okay, now this is going to be controversy because...
My answer is one man and one man only, but no one will like it.
Well, I think he's on there.
Okay.
I think if I know you well enough, which I believe I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's going to be controversial about this is that there are going to be names that are not on here that people think should be on here.
Okay.
Okay. Because I only had room for 4. Barry Bonds.
There you go.
Do you remember him?
I do remember him.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Very good.
Albert Pujols.
Also... Very good. Best maybe start to a career, first 10 years yeah. in Major League Baseball.
I don't even think that's maybe. That's
it's ridiculous.
That's his numbers.
Yeah.
He fell off in L.A. or else he'd probably win
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
But he still may win it. I mean, he was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth one we have on here is Shohei Ohtani.
Oh.
What? So vote and vote hard.
Tough because Shohei just hasn't done it long enough. The correct answer is Barry Bonds. Just is.
I think that's right. That's who I'd vote for.
I mean,
but
Bonds is
Roger Clemens not on the list.
No, Mike Trout.
Alex Rodriguez not on the list. You know, I don't know. I mean,
I hate to do it, but the second best living baseball. Like, if I had to put together my list of who are the best living baseball players of all time,
well, of all time, mean living is like
yeah,
current.
Yeah, that's what
like
I said.
Alive.
Yeah, living of all, I guess. Yeah, best baseball player is still living. Sorry, yes. I didn't need the.
You don't
the
need
all
the
all time.
Yeah,
no. Yeah. Off the top of my head,
of those that are not deceased,
it's Barry Bonds,
okay.
And I hate to say it, it's Alex Rodriguez.
Okay,
Alex Rodriguez has better numbers than Albert Pujols. He has better numbers than almost everybody.
Okay,
and then I would probably say Pujols, and then I'm gonna go Clemens. And then it's probably Griffey, And I'll throw in like a Ricky Henderson, Randy Johnson. Gotta be in there.
Ricky Henderson, huh?
Dude, Ricky Henderson.
Still alive?
Yeah, Ricky's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you don't hear much from him.
Ricky is the balls. And like when we have these conversations, like, and I, maybe again, he's just, I don't know, he just, he wasn't a likable guy, whatever. But dude, Ricky, he's the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. The greatest base stealer of all time. I mean, he was a precursor to the modern day power speed guys. I mean, he was something special. So that's just off the top of my head. And Clemens is another one that, because of the steroids, we don't give Clemens, you know, the respect. But what would it be, six or seven Cy Youngs? How many?
I don't know.
How many did he get?
Let's take a look.
Yeah, take a look at that. Because like,
internet.
Because if I had to go with one game, I'm taking Randy. In my lifetime that I watched, if I had to go one game, I'm taking the big unit.
Seven for Clemens.
But seven.
You can't argue. You can't even make an argument that Randy's career is anywhere near as good as Roger's. Roger has the best. It's the best modern pitching career, and it's not even close.
Well, that's why it's a good, good little debate.
And then I'm probably going to have to tuck, like, Trout's got to fit in there somewhere. Like, it's, and I know he's fallen off with the injuries a little bit, but, you know, Trout's tucked in there somewhere.
Well, we got a lot of tucking.
Yeah, I know. You got to, you know, you, I don't know.
Like, we want to untuck. That's the whole point of the conversation. So yeah. Let's untuck this.
I don't, because.
But I think it's Bonds.
Because Mantle's dead, right?
Very, very dead.
Super dead.
Very dead, yeah. He probably, let's guess the date of Mickey Mantle's death. Go.
2008. I don't know.
Really?
What's your guess, Isaac? I have the number up.
Oh, no, I just looked it up. I already have it.
Okay.
But I would have guessed 1995, and it's 1995.
95?
Yeah.
Right.
Is when he died.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
A long time ago. And so am I missing, is there anyone obvious that I have?
Well.
Because I feel like that's the list, and now it's a matter of tucking and untucking. But I feel like that's the list.
CBS Sports did a list by WAR,
mm-hmm.
wins above replacement.
Yeah. Which is kind of a weird, like, some people get all pissy about that, but.
They have on the list, and I'll just scroll through here, Johnny Bench, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Ken Griffey Jr.
Bench is still alive?
Yeah, he's alive. Ricky Henderson,
okay.
Randy Johnson, Greg Maddux, Pedro Martinez, Mike Schmidt, get out of here with that, Albert Pujols, Mariano Rivera, and Alex Rodriguez. That's who they have on the list.
So I didn't get Mo. Hard for me to put Mo. I don't know. He's a closer.
Yeah.
Maddux. I should have put Maddux on there. I forget about Pedro. But to me, again, when I just it, Randy and Clemens are the two that jump out at me if I'm going arms. Because at some point, like, I'm cutting it off. I'm not doing more than like 8 to 10. And for me, Pedro, Maddux, Mo, they're not making my cut.
All right, well.
Jeter's not making get out of here.
No, I mean.
Yeah.
Who, does Pujols lead A-Rod in home runs?
No, I think.
A-Rod have more?
I think A-Rod's like second or third.
Yeah, you're right. Pujols got to 700, though.
He got to 700. Yeah. Which is why, like, I have a hard time.
Dude, he's.
I have
he's
a hard time putting
here.
Griffey ahead of Pujols.
I've used that word twice in the last couple weeks. He's overlooked here.
Yes.
Albert Pujols.
Because everyone's, like, when you ask the modern person or the average fan, they're going to say Griffey. I don't think in good conscience, besides, obviously, you know, he played a great outfield, Griffey was not as good as Albert Pujols. He was at one point, but as much as Pujols broke down, you got to admit, after a couple years in Cincinnati, Griffey was not good anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Griffey is like, he's the poster child for having done it clean.
Yeah.
Whereas if you got a guy like A-Rod or Bonds, a lot of people will choose the alternative of Griffey to those guys because we know, at least with some confidence, he was clean.
Mm.
And we know that those other guys were not.
And by the way, that son of a bitch Pujols did clip him. Yeah, he got Rodriguez.
Got A-Rod.
He got A-Rod. I thought
what's
A-Rod.
The home run list now?
So we got Bonds.
Yeah, Barry Bonds. Yeah.
No one's catching Bonds. We got Aaron, Ruth, and then Albert. And then you get into A-Rod, that's top five. And then Mays, Griffey comes in at seven.
Dude, you know, if you take the average baseball guy and say, talk about the greatest players of the last 25, 30 years, I think it's a while before Albert Pujols comes up. I think Alex Rodriguez and Barry Bonds are talked about way, way more.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know that many people could say Pujols is fourth on the all-time home run list. Like, that's kind of sneaky.
Yeah.
even for a baseball guy.
Pujols is, like, his whole career is kind
of
like
that. He was amazing. Not only was he, first 10 years, just another level, another world, another stratosphere. He has the compiled numbers,
well,
too.
Well, here's the one. So he's, we just did it. He's fourth all-time in home runs, 703. And by the way, never implicated. I know.
Yeah, come on.
He was roided
up, wasn't he?
He was a big guy, so anyone that played in that era that was a big guy. But
he got named in that Mitchell report, right?
I don't think so.
Did he not?
We take a look at it. As far as I know, and again, check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, I don't believe, other than that's a big guy in the era that he played, I don't, and being Latin, because, you know, if the Latin players, that stuck to them way more than the Americans.
Apparently Jack Clark accused Pujols of taking steroids.
Just because he was jealous.
And Pujols sued him?
Yeah, well, Clark got fired. He was on his radio. I guess he had a radio show, Clark, and he got fired.
But and that's what I'm talking about. It's like, there's no way he can do that clean. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But nothing ever stuck to him.
You're right, though, that this Jack Clark is the only thing, the only allegation. I don't think he was ever caught or named or tested in anything that he said he did.
And he never went on any of those, like, he came into the offseason and then, like, showed up for spring training and was like, there's 30 pounds. Or the other way, where it was like, hey, you got really thin. And he broke down towards the end. So he's fourth all-time in home runs. Do you know where he's at in RBI?
Third?
Two.
Yeah.
So
what
I was,
about hits? How many hits did he have?
Let's look up. He got to 3,000.
He did?
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
I think he got the whole meal deal. So I always say that about Rodriguez. Like, A-Rod's resume is stupid good. I mean, it's absurd. And by the way, A-Rod was a Gold Glove defender at one point. Pujols was not. But Pujols actually, you know, when you look at it, you know, his numbers, he nicks Rodriguez. He nicks him in RBI, because A-Rod is fourth, Pujols is second. We mentioned the home runs. A-Rod is fifth, Pujols is fourth. And Pujols certainly isn't hated the way that that Pujols is. So Pujols goes ninth in hits, 3384. I mean, so you're fourth, second, and ninth.
That's why I put him on the list.
In all-time categories. And then average... Alex Rodriguez, by the way, 22nd in hits, also got to 3,000. I mean, their resumes are just...
What's Albert Pujols' career BA? 320?
Let's look at...
310?
Let's look and see what he was
hitting. 317?
Hit. I'm going to go 308.
Yeah.
I'm just... Because I think towards the end, I think his career... I'm guessing some of those seasons hurt him.
But he hit like 360 several years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, couple batting titles. I'm going to pull this up. When I clicked... I hate when you click on it and you...
What do you got?
You bring up a bunch of crap I don't want.
What do you got?
He got ads. His career average. Where the hell is it?
Is this taking far too long?
It is taking
Baseball Reference, man.
That's right. I finally got there. 296.
Oh, wow. Didn't even hit 300. What a bum. It
didn't even hit 300.
All right. Well, vote. It's on X at 1080 The Fan. With the passing of Willie Mays, who's the greatest living baseball player? Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., Albert Pujols, Shohei Ohtani. Coming up next, the Lakers have a new coach. Finally. Here's Buck.
By the way, I stand corrected.
Yes, you do.
I owe Albert Pujols an apology.
Yes, you do.
Because I knew that A-Rod won a couple gold gloves. And I thought maybe that, because, you know, for a lot of the times, Pujols is DH'd and people don't respect the DH. But A-Rod won two gold gloves. So did Albert Pujols. That son of a bitch did it again.
Over at third base?
I don't know if he won him at first or if he won him at third. But, yeah, he won.
Pujols?
It was early in his career. Yeah, he won two.
He played third?
Yeah.
I only remember him playing first.
No, he was third baseman when he first came up.
Yeah, that dude. You know, he's out there getting it done.
He's a boss.
So,
that's what he is.
You know, give...
he's a damn boss.
This son of a bitch.
Every time I was ready to give him an A-Rod, you know
that's right.
Competition, Pujols is like, yeah, no. And he won him at first, by the way. Yeah, won him both at first base.
Okay.
So, which, you know, it's first base, right?
I know, but
that's
first
where
base,
I play first base in softball because I like to have a beer over there.
I'm a lefty.
Yeah.
And so lefties always get thrown over to first base, you know? And even playing first base, I never really respected it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what got me to respect defense at first base?
Mm-hmm.
Eric Hosmer.
Really?
He was so good.
Yeah.
For my Royals, my championship Royals. Remember when they beat the Mets in the World Series?
Yeah, when the Mets blew four leads. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Eric Hosmer was a Gold Glover over there. And man, man, was he good. He picked everything. And it was, I don't know, I got to see it up close.
It kind of feels like with first base,
how big of a difference it was.
It's not, the difference between a bad and an average first baseman isn't great, but that a good first baseman makes a huge difference to your team and your infield.
It just, it doesn't do any, it sours, like when you've got a guy like, you got like a big fat guy and like he can't DH anymore. And like when they would play in the National League, so they you know, you stick him at first base. Look, the big kid that played the tuba and hit home runs.
Mo Vaughn?
Yeah, you stuck him at first base. Remember when, like, David Ortiz had to play first? Like, oh, man, just, I don't know, go play first. Hey, I'm old and broken down. Go play first base.
Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. VancouverFord.com. The number is 503-864-6326. One texter says that MLB stat talk is old white man subject matter.
Oh, it's not old white man. It's old white man.
Man, that is correct.
100%.
Yes. Guilty of that. Yes. Okay, moving on to the Lakers. Your Los Angeles Lakers.
I do enjoy the Lakers hire a podcaster as their coach.
Yeah, somebody asked on the Vancouver Ford text line, is it disrespectful for Buck to call Redick a podcaster, or am I just old?
Oh, it's a little disrespectful, you know, that, but it's tongue-in-cheek.
It is
not meant as a dig.
That's
his podcast with LeBron James is why he got the job.
Everybody has a podcast. That's not...
His got him the head coaching job of the Lakers.
He is a former player.
Yes, he is. And I noted that in my update as well.
Pretty good one.
I enjoy this one. I saw this. He was born the same year as LeBron. He was drafted 3 years after LeBron. He started a podcast with LeBron, and now he's coaching LeBron. I think of that Paul Rudd meme where he's like, who would have thought we'd be here? Nobody.
Look at us.
JJ Redick. And then we had that weird Dan Hurley thing, which no one seemed can figure out if that was real or not. The Lakers, like, they're like, oh, we're going to hire JJ Redick. Eh, I don't know. We're going to make a horse crap offer to Dan Hurley.
So Redick gets 4 years. Hurley was offered six. Do they have 33% less confidence in Redick?
Well, yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, probably that's about right.
And do we know what he's getting monies? Do we know?
That hasn't been disclosed yet. I don't think we've seen that.
I still contend that the Dan Hurley thing was... They knew that Hurley would only leave if it was just a Herculean offer. They weren't going to offer him a Herculean offer. So they were like, look, this is going to tell Redick, take a seat, buddy. Like, you're not in charge of these negotiations.
You think they called him buddy?
They said buddy. I said, listen here,
hey,
chief.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, pal.
We want to hire you as our coach, buddy.
Yeah, listen here, Shiver Shorts. You're a little big in your britches right now asking. So they call up Dan Hurley. And Hurley's like, yeah, I'll listen, you know, if it's right. And so they fly him out there and they make him an offer that he knows he's going to turn down. And they go to Redick and they're like, man, you weren't even our first choice. Like, this is what we were offering Hurley. Yeah, let's lower this down a little bit. You come to 4 years, a reasonable amount. I'm guessing that for the most part, this was the Lakers' plan from the beginning. They used Woj and Shams as smokescreens.
So Redick is 39. They say that they will prop him up with a very experienced coaching staff.
Yeah. They got and a defensive coaching staff as well, which is why I thought maybe if they moved a little faster, you know, Van Gundy was out there and Van Gundy was looking to get back in the coaching game. You would think a guy like that would have been perfect for the Lakers staff. That would be a great guy to lean on who doesn't need to be the guy. But certainly has been around the block, knows a thing or two about coaching. But, you know, they'll go find maybe a Tear Bear. What's Stotsy Baby doing? Maybe he can come in and work under Redick.
He'd help Redick a lot. I
would think so.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you want a couple guys that have some ego in check, although, man, Tear Bear, just don't yell at him. You know, don't scream at him. You'll be fine. But I'm sure there's a lot of quality guys that are out there that can help someone along. And then, you know, like what they did with Chauncey Billups, then fire them all at the end of the year.
Well, I think it's interesting that... Like, why is he your head coach if you have to surround him with other more seasoned coaches?
Yeah.
Why don't you just hire one of the more seasoned coaches?
Because that's, you know, he does a podcast with LeBron.
Maybe that's what it is.
LeBron James.
LeBron wielding his power yet again.
We talk about this all the time, but, you know, people say that the main task that you have to do as an NBA coach is just player management. And you have to be someone that can have the respect of players and have the pulse of the team. And maybe they feel that Redick is that guy and that he can grow and evolve into more of an X's and O's guy. But just the personality is there to guide it. And he has LeBron's respect. And honestly, isn't that isn't that the biggest thing? Is you get buy-in from the, for all of LeBron's greatness, dude, that guy is a coach killer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at least for now, you don't have to worry about that.
It feels like he's a kingmaker. He picks you and you get his respect for about 20 games and then you got to show him what you're really made of.
Yeah.
Well, the Lakers have not had a coach stay longer than 3 years since Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
So, and I'm guessing Redick won't either, but you know, maybe I'm wrong because of the LeBron connection.
Although now that Redick's there and you would assume that LeBron's hand is somewhere where the sun don't shine, I'm waiting for Bronny James to be picked number 55. Come on down.
Riddle me this. Who's there longer, LeBron or Redick?
How old's LeBron now?
LeBron's got maybe 2 years left. I think he's 40.
He's 40?
I think so.
Whoa.
I think he turns 40 this year.
That escalated.
Yep, he'll turn 40 on December 30th.
So he's 39.
He's 39, but next season, in the middle of the season, he'll be 40 years old.
Well, he's in good shape.
He's in great
shape.
He's
still got a lot left in the tank, it seems. He's probably chasing more records because, you know, that's how he rolls.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say LeBron plays 3.5 more years.
He played at 44.
Well, I mean, he's LeBron. He can probably do whatever the hell he wants, really. Probably. He could play to 60 if he wanted. Yeah, nobody's going to say no to him.
Keep pumping whatever it is you're pumping in the offseason, man.
I just think, to answer your question, I think I'm going to go with LeBron. I think LeBron outlasts Redick. LeBron will outlast another coach.
For my final trick, I'm reaching into my bag and flushing one more coach, this one with a podcast with me. Now, is it awkward?
What if they hire Bronny? Wait, hear me out.
Oh, I like where this, I already know where this is going, yeah. And I like it.
What if LeBron gets Redick fired in a couple years and they bring in Bronny
even better
as the coach?
Player. Yeah, because he can't play in the NBA, but you know what he can do? He can coach.
He can advise.
Well, he's got that great basketball IQ. You heard about it on nearly every broadcast.
Oh, that's right. He's very smart. And he's an athlete, even though he's not really good at the game of basketball. I just think it would be amazing, like, if LeBron gets him fired but keeps doing the podcast with him. Like, you show up the next day after firing him, and LeBron's like, it's a tough one, man. Let's get into it. It'd be like when Will Smith's wife stooped, like, 9 other dudes and then went on that talk show with Will
Jada.
Smith. Yeah, and talked about it. She sat her husband down and was like, how did it feel when I slept with our son's friend in front of you? We'll talk about that. It'd be the same sort of thing. Hey, JJ, how did it feel to get flushed from the only coaching job you'll ever have? And knowing that more than likely I was responsible for it. Let's discuss. That would be a podcast I would tune in for.
All right, who are the other former players hired with zero, and I mean zero coaching experience, including being an assistant? We've got that list next. It's 3:47 on the Fan. All right, coming up, which school led the Pac-12 in all sports attendance? I'll have that next hour. But we're talking about J.J. Redick. He got hired as coach of the Lakers finally. Mm-hmm. So he's going to go coach them into the ground probably.
I love that we continue to try to make the Lakers a thing. And look, the Lakers aren't a bad team, but like, we act as if, whether it's Hurley or J.J. Redick, last time I checked, the roster is kind of the biggest thing in the NBA, and the Lakers roster isn't very good. So I'm fascinated that just because it's LeBron and because it's the Lakers, we keep being like, well, is this the one that puts L.A. over the top? Over the top? Is this the one that keeps L.A. from being a play-in team? They finished 7th in the West, for God's sake. He puts them over the top. It's stupid. You hired a first-year coach who's never coached anything. Oh, maybe he coached like a YMCA team. I don't know. But the idea that J.J. Redick, or Dan Hurley for that matter, who's never coached in the NBA at all, I'm sure that would have gone great, was going to take the 7th-seeded Los Angeles Lakers with a 40-year-old LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who, you know, good luck getting him to show up on any given day. And then your third best player is what? Austin Reeves? Like that?
That's, I love Austin Reeves.
That's beating Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota, the Mavericks, the Clippers. Oh, not to mention the Celtics, the Bucks. Come on. Get
well,
out of here.
They're saying that Redick had a bunch of offers over the years. And much like Steve Kerr, he kind of held out.
Yeah.
And chose LA.
Yeah.
To be with LeBron. So, I mean, the seat's instantly warm, says Ramona Shelburne of ESPN.
No coach has made it past 3 years. Although, And maybe this is the deal with Reddick, is we hear it all the time. You can't win unless you get buy-in. You can't get buy-in unless you win. But going to L.A. with LeBron, because if LeBron has buy-in, then everyone else has to fall in line, right? You can't say anything. When LeBron says shut up and listen to the guy, you shut up and listen to him. So maybe this is the situation that if Reddick ends up in, I don't know, what's another place that has a job? Like, because good jobs normally don't come open, right? It's usually crappy teams. So LA doesn't suck. They're a, you know, somewhere between a 5 and an 8 seed. But let's say he takes over, I don't know, Sacramento, or he takes over New Orleans. We'll go New Orleans. New Orleans finished right behind LA. So you take New Orleans, and immediately you come in. Zion and CJ and Brandon Ingram don't know JJ Redick from squat, maybe, you know, if they have any. So although Redick did play in New Orleans, didn't he? But whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, you go into a roster like that with a lot of young guys, and if you don't have a personal relationship with them, or you did play with them and maybe they didn't love you or whatever, instantly you have an uphill battle getting a bunch of 24, 25, 26 year olds to buy into what you're selling. Whereas you go to LA, and as long as LeBron's cool with it and signs off on it, there is instant credibility there. And maybe that gives you a better chance.
I would disagree a little bit and say good jobs don't come open. In the NBA, they do. I mean, the Suns just swapped coaches.
Is that a good job? Is that a good job?
Well, I mean, it's
the Milwaukee one. Yeah.
Milwaukee.
That's a good one.
It's certainly a relevant job. Phoenix. I mean, you got Kevin Durant. Boston switched coaches a couple years ago. Sixers swap out? I mean, I think the good coach, the good coaching jobs actually come up more often, because oftentimes when a good team is underachieving or just not getting, titles, basically they blame the coach, and that's the easiest thing to switch out.
Yeah,
so
true.
I would,
you know what? I much like my Albert Pujols, Alex Rodriguez. You've convinced me.
Well, we're only an hour in. You've been wrong twice.
I roll back. Yeah.
But at least you can admit it.
Yeah.
Now, me, I'm never wrong.
Because you think about it, that's, I guess, it just, in my mind, most of the time that jobs do come open, and I still think it's the vast majority of them, they're terrible jobs. It's the Charlottes and the, you know, places like that, because they just stink. That's true in the NFL, too. A lot of bad jobs out there. But you're right, in the NBA, maybe again because of the pressure and it's the easiest guy to blame, there are better jobs that come rolling out there.
Now, the list of... I saw a list of the other coaches besides J.J. Redick who are former players who have been hired with zero coaching experience in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And that means head coach or assistant coach. And the list is 4 long, Redick being the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Rivers.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Larry Bird.
I do remember that one. And Larry, by the way, Larry was a good coach. In fact, watch me be wrong for a third time today, which is
in
shocking.
In an hour. Wow.
Yeah. Dude, I'm having a banner run. I believe that Larry Bird was named NBA Coach of the Year. Larry was a good coach.
We're going to have to check you on that.
Yeah. Because most great players, the Magic Johnsons of the world, they don't make great coaches.
Who took the Pacers to the finals? Is that Bird or somebody else? One was like Rick Smits?
He was coach of the year. You're correct.
Yeah.
97-98.
He didn't coach that long.
And he led the Pacers to the finals in 2000.
There
so
you he
go.
Was. And I also believe that Larry might have, I'm going to say might have, because I'm not as certain about this. I think he also won executive of the year.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
So Larry's the balls.
So Bird, Rivers, Mark Jackson, and Jason Kidd. And all of those guys, pretty good coaches.
Well, and...
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, I stand corrected.
Yes, you do.
I owe Albert Pujols an apology.
Yes, you do.
Because I knew that A-Rod won a couple gold gloves. And I thought maybe that, because, you know, for a lot of the times, Pujols is DH'd and people don't respect the DH. But A-Rod won 2 gold gloves. So did Albert Pujols. That son of a bitch did it again.
Over at third base?
I don't know if he won him at first or if he won him at third. But, yeah, he won.
Pujols?
It was early in his career. Yeah, he won 2
gold. He played third?
Yeah.
I only remember him playing first.
No, he was third baseman when he first came up.
Yeah, that dude. You know, he's out there getting it done.
He's a boss. So, that's what he is.
You know, give...
he's a damn boss.
This son of a bitch.
Every time Holy I was cow. Ready to give him an A-Rod, you know
right.
competition, Pujols is like, yeah, no. And he won him at first, by the way.
Yeah,
won him both at first base. Okay. So, which, you know, it's first base, right?
I know, but
that's
first
where
base...
I play first base in softball because I like to have a beer over there.
I'm a lefty.
Yeah.
And so lefties always get thrown over to first base, you know? And even playing first base, I never really respected it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what got me to respect defense at first base?
Mm.
Eric Hosmer.
Really?
He was so good.
Yeah.
For my Royals, my championship Royals. Remember when they beat the Mets in the World Series?
Yeah, when the Mets blew four leads. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Eric Hosmer was a gold glover over there. And man, was he good. He picked everything. And it was, I don't know, I got to see it up close.
It kind of feels like with
first
base.
How big of a difference it was.
It's not, the difference between a bad and an average first baseman isn't great, but that a good first baseman makes a huge difference to your team and your infield.
It's just, it doesn't do any, It sours like when you've got a guy like a big fat guy and like he can't DH anymore. And like when they would play in the National League, so they you know, you stick him at first base. Look, the big kid that played the tuba and hit home runs,
Mo Vaughn.
Yeah, you stuck him at first base. Remember when like David Ortiz had to play first? Like, oh man, just I don't know, go play first. Hey, I'm old and broken down. Go play first base.
Vancouver Ford text line, your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. VancouverFord.com. The number is 503-864-6326. One texter says that MLB stat talk is old white man subject matter.
Oh, it's not old white man. It's old white man.
Man, that is correct.
100%.
We are guilty.
Hot. Yes.
Guilty of that. Yes. Okay, moving on to the Lakers. Your Los Angeles Lakers.
I do enjoy the Lakers hire a podcaster as their coach.
Yeah, somebody asked on the Vancouver Ford text line, is it disrespectful for Buck to call Redick a podcaster, or am I just old?
Oh, it's a little disrespectful,
you know, that,
but it's tongue-in-cheek.
It is
not meant as a dig.
That's
his podcast with LeBron James is why he got the job.
Everybody has a podcast. That's not...
His got him the head coaching job of the Lakers.
He is a former player.
Yes, he is. And I noted that in my update as well.
Pretty good one.
I enjoy this when I saw this. He was born the same year as LeBron. He was drafted 3 years after LeBron. He started a podcast with LeBron, and now he's coaching LeBron. I think of that Paul Rudd meme where he's like, who would have thought we'd be here? No.
Look at us. Look at us.
JJ Redick. And then we had that weird Dan Hurley thing, which no one seemed can figure out if that was real or not. The Lakers, like, they're like, oh, we're going to hire J.J. Redick. I don't know. We're going to make a horse crap offer to Dan Hurley.
So Redick gets 4 years. Hurley was offered six. Do they have 33% less confidence in Redick?
Well, yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, probably that's about right.
And do we know what he's getting monies? Do we know?
That hasn't been disclosed yet. I don't think we've seen that.
I still contend that the Dan Hurley thing was... They knew that Hurley would only leave if it was just a Herculean offer. They weren't going to offer him a Herculean offer. So they were like, look, this is going to tell Redick, take a seat, buddy. Like, you're not in charge of these negotiations.
You think they called him buddy?
They said buddy. I said, listen here,
hey,
chief.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, pal.
We want to hire you as our coach, buddy.
Yeah, listen here, Shiver Shorts. You're a little big in your britches right now asking. So they call up Dan Hurley, and Hurley's like, yeah, I'll listen, you know, if it's right. And so they fly him out there. And they make him an offer that he knows he's going to turn down. And they go to Redick and they're like, man, you weren't even our first choice. Like, this is what we were offering Hurley. Yeah, let's lower this down a little bit. You come to 4 years, a reasonable amount. I'm guessing that for the most part, this was the Lakers' plan from the beginning. They used Woj and Shams as smokescreens.
So Redick is 39. They say that they will prop him up with a very experienced coaching staff.
Yeah. They got and a defensive coaching staff as well, which is why I thought maybe if they moved a little faster, you know, Van Gundy was out there and Van Gundy was looking to get back in the coaching game. You would think a guy like that would have been perfect for the Lakers staff. That would be a great guy to lean on who doesn't need to be the guy, but certainly has been around the block, knows a thing or two about coaching. But, you know, they'll go find maybe a Tear Bear. What's Stotsy Baby doing? He can come in and work under Redick.
He'd help Redick a lot. I
would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you want a couple guys that have some ego in check, although, man, Tear Bear, just don't yell at him. You know, don't scream at him. You'll be fine. But I'm sure there's a lot of quality guys that are out there that can help someone along. And then, you know, like what they did with Chauncey Billups, then fire them all at the end of the year.
Well, I think it's interesting that, like, why is he your head coach if you have to surround him with other more seasoned coaches?
Yeah.
Why don't you just hire one of the more seasoned coaches?
Yeah, because that's, you know, he's, he does a podcast with LeBron.
Maybe that's what it is.
LeBron James.
LeBron wielding his power yet again.
We talk about this all the time, but, you know, people say that the main task that you have to do as an NBA coach is just player management. And you have to be someone that can have the respect of players and have the pulse of the team. And maybe they feel that Redick is that guy and that he can grow and evolve into more of an X's and O's guy. But just the personality is there to guide it. And he has LeBron's respect. And honestly, isn't that the biggest thing? Is you get buy-in for all of LeBron's greatness, dude, that guy is a coach killer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at least for now, you don't have to worry about that.
It feels like he's a kingmaker. He picks you and you get his respect for about 20 games and then you got to show him what you're really made of.
Yeah.
Well, the Lakers have not had a coach stay longer than 3 years since Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
So, and I'm guessing Redick won't either, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong because of the LeBron connection.
Although now that Redick's there and you would assume that LeBron's hand is somewhere where the sun don't shine, I'm waiting for Bronny James to be picked number 55. Come on down.
Riddle me this. Who's there longer, LeBron or Redick?
How old's LeBron now?
LeBron's got maybe 2 years left. I think he's 40.
He's 40?
I think so.
Whoa.
I think he turns 40 this year.
That escalated.
Yep, he'll turn 40 on December 30th.
So he's 39.
He's 39, but next season, in the middle of the season, he'll be 40 years old.
Well, he's in good shape.
He's in great
shape. He's still got a lot left in the tank, it seems. He's probably chasing more records because, you know, that's how he rolls.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say LeBron plays 3.5 more years.
He played a 44.
Well, I mean, he's LeBron. He can probably do whatever the hell he wants, really. Probably. He could play to 60 if he wanted. Yeah, nobody's going to say no to him.
Keep pumping whatever it is you're pumping in the offseason, man.
I just think, to answer your question, I think I'm going to go with LeBron. I think LeBron outlasts Redick. LeBron will outlast another coach.
For my final trick, I'm reaching into my bag and flushing one more coach, this one with a podcast with me. Now, is it awkward?
What if they hire Bronny? Wait, hear me out.
Oh, I like where this... I already know where this is going, and I like it.
What if LeBron gets Redick fired in a couple years and they bring in Bronny
even better
as the coach?
Player. Yeah, because he can't play in the NBA, but you know what he can do? He can coach.
He can advise.
He can advise.
Well, he's got that great basketball IQ. You heard about it on nearly every broadcast.
Oh,
That's right.
He's very smart. And he's an athlete, even though he's not really good at the game of basketball. I just think it would be amazing, like, if LeBron gets him fired but keeps doing the podcast with him. Like, you show up the next day after firing him, and LeBron's like, it's a tough one, man. Let's get into it. It'd be like when Will Smith's wife stooped, like, 9 other dudes and then went on that talk show with Will
Jada.
Smith. Yeah, and talked about it. She sat her husband down and was like, how did it feel when I slept with... Our son's friend in front of you. We'll talk about that. It'd be the same sort of thing. Hey, JJ, how did it feel to get flushed from the only coaching job you'll ever have? And knowing that more than likely I was responsible for it. Let's discuss. That would be a podcast I would tune in for.
All right, who are the other former players hired with zero, and I mean zero coaching experience, including being an assistant? We've got that list next. It's 3:47 on the Fan. All right. Coming up, which school led the Pac-12 in all sports attendance? I'll have that next hour. But we're talking about J.J. Redick. He got hired as coach of the Lakers finally. Mm-hmm. So he's going to go coach them into the ground probably.
I love that we continue to try to make the Lakers a thing. And like the Lakers aren't a bad team, but like we act as if whether it's Hurley or J.J. Redick, last time I checked, the roster is kind of the biggest thing in the NBA, and the Lakers roster isn't very good. So I'm fascinated that just because it's LeBron and because it's the Lakers, we keep being like, well, is this the one that puts L.A. over the top? Over the top? Is this the one that keeps L.A. from being a play-in team? They finished 7th in the West, for God's sake. Takes. He puts them over the top. It's stupid. You hired a first-year coach who's never coached anything. Oh, maybe he coached like a YMCA team. I don't know. But the idea that J.J. Redick, or Dan Hurley for that matter, who's never coached in the NBA at all, sure, that would have gone great, was going to take the seventh-seeded Los Angeles Lakers with a 40-year-old LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who, you know, good luck getting him to show up on any given day. And then your third best player is what, Austin Reeves? Like that?
That's, I love Austin Reeves.
That's beating Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota, the Mavericks, the Clippers. Oh, not to mention the Celtics, the Bucks. Come on. Get
well,
out of here.
They're saying that Redick had a bunch of offers over the years, and much like Steve Kerr, he kind of held out.
Yeah.
And chose LA.
Yeah.
To be with LeBron. So, I mean, the seat's instantly warm, says Ramona Shelburne of
well, no coach, no coach has made it past 3 years. Although, but, maybe this is the deal with Redick, is we hear it all the time. You can't win unless you get buy-in. You can't get buy-in unless you win. But going to LA with LeBron, because if LeBron has buy-in, then everyone else has to fall in line, right? You can't say anything when LeBron says shut up and listen to the guy. You shut up and listen to him. So maybe this is the situation that if Redick ends up in, I don't know, what's another place that has a job? Like, because good jobs normally don't come open, right? It's usually crappy teams. So LA doesn't suck. They're a, you know, somewhere between a 5 and an 8 seed. But let's say he takes over, I don't know, Sacramento, or he takes over New Orleans. We'll go New Orleans. New Orleans finished right behind LA. So you take New Orleans. And immediately you come in, Zion and CJ and Brandon Ingram don't know JJ Redick from squat, maybe. You know, if they have any. So, although Redick did play in New Orleans, didn't he? But whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go into a roster like that with a lot of young guys, and if you don't have a personal relationship with them, or you did play with them, and maybe they didn't love you or whatever, instantly you have an uphill battle getting a bunch of 24, 25, 26-year-olds to buy into what you're selling. Whereas you go to LA, and as long as LeBron's cool with it and signs off on it, there is instant credibility there, and maybe that gives you a better chance.
I would disagree a little bit and say good jobs don't come open. In the NBA, they do. I mean, the Suns just swapped coaches.
Is that a good job? Is that a good job?
Well, I mean, it's...
The Milwaukee one. Yeah,
Milwaukee.
That's a good one.
It's certainly a relevant job, Phoenix. I mean, you got Kevin Durant. Boston switched coaches a couple years ago.
What's for
Sixers? Didn't the Sixers swap out? I mean, I think the good coaching jobs actually come up more often, because oftentimes when a good team is underachieving or just not getting titles, basically they blame the coach, and that's the easiest thing to switch out.
Yeah,
so I would
you know what, I much like my Albert Pujols, Alex Rodriguez, you've convinced me.
Well, we're only an hour in, you've been wrong twice.
I roll back. Yeah.
But at least you can admit it.
Yeah.
Not me, I'm never wrong.
Because you think about it, that's, I guess, it just, in my mind, most of the time that jobs do come open, and I still think it's the vast majority of them, they're terrible jobs. It's the Charlottes and the, you know, places like that, because they just stink. That's true in the NFL, too. A lot of bad jobs out there. But you're right, in the NBA, maybe again because of the pressure and it's the easiest guy to blame, there are better jobs that come rolling out there.
Now, the list of... I saw a list of the other coaches besides J.J. Redick who are former players who have been hired with zero coaching experience in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And that means head coach or assistant coach. And the list is 4 long, Redick being the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Rivers.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Larry Bird.
I do remember that one. And Larry, by the way, Larry was a good coach. In fact, watch me be wrong for a third time today, which is
in an hour.
In an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, I'm having a banner run. I believe that Larry Bird was named NBA Coach of the Year. Larry was a good coach.
We're going to have to check you on that.
Yeah. Because most great players, the Magic Johnsons of the world, they don't make great coaches.
Who took the Pacers to the finals? Is that Bird or somebody else? One was like Rick Smits?
He was coach of the year. You're correct.
Yeah.
97-98.
He didn't coach that long.
And he led the Pacers to the finals in 2000.
There so you he go. Was.
And I also believe that Larry might have, I'm going to say might have, because I'm not as certain about this one. I think he also won executive of the year.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
So Larry's the balls.
So Bird, Rivers, Mark Jackson, and Jason Kidd. And all of those guys, pretty good coaches.
Well,
You know?
Yeah.
And Kerr is not on the list, and I wondered why. I still kind of don't know why Kerr isn't on here.
I thought he should have been.
But I think it's a technicality. I think the reason Steve Kerr isn't listed here is because he had previously coached the Warriors Summer League team. And so I think they're counting that as, quote, NBA experience.
Well, Chaunce had one year. He did? Yeah, he annoyed
Was he an assistant?
He annoyed his way into some sort of weird quality control thing on the Clippers staff because of a personal relationship.
Oh,
and then the
right.
next year he got hired.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, point being, it can work. Just a former player who has a good high basketball IQ and players respect.
On Kerr's Wikipedia, it just says Golden State is his only job.
Yeah, but like I said, I think it was the Summer League.
Summer League. So we give him credit for that?
Well, he had some NBA experience.
Some. I love it.
All right. Coming up next, who led the Pac-12 in all sports attendance?
I got two teams I'm going to throw out there.
We'll get to that when we return. It is 3:58 on The Fan. All right. Coming up, which school led the Pac-12 in all sports attendance? I'll have that. Next hour. But we're talking about J.J. Redick. He got hired as coach of the Lakers, finally. Mm-hmm. So he's going to go coach them into the ground, probably.
I love that we continue to try to make the Lakers a thing. And, like, the Lakers aren't a bad team, but, like, we act as if, whether it's Hurley or J.J. Redick, last time I checked, the roster is kind of the biggest thing in the NBA, and the Lakers roster isn't very good. So I'm fascinated that just because it's LeBron and because it's the Lakers, we keep being like, well, is this the one that puts LA over the top? Over the top? Is this the one that keeps LA from being a play-in team? They finished seventh in the West, for God's sakes. He puts them over the top. It's stupid. You hired a first-year coach who's never coached anything. Oh, maybe he coached like a YMCA team. I don't know. But the idea that J.J. Redick, or Dan Hurley for that matter, who's never coached in the NBA at all, I'm sure that would have gone great, was going to take the seventh-seeded Los Angeles Lakers with a 40-year-old LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who, you know, good luck getting him to show up on any given day. And then your third best player is what, Austin Reeves? Like that?
That's, I love Austin Reeves.
That's beating Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota, the Mavericks, the Clippers. Oh, not to mention the Celtics, the Bucks. Come on. Get
well,
out of here.
They're saying that Redick had a bunch of offers over the years, and much like Steve Kerr, he kind of held out.
Yeah.
And chose LA.
Yeah.
To be with LeBron. So, I mean, the seat's instantly warm, says Ramona Shelburne of ESPN.
Well, no coach has made it past 3 years. Although, and maybe this is the deal with Redick, is we hear it all the time. You can't win unless you get buy-in. You can't get buy-in unless you win. But going to L.A. with LeBron, because if LeBron has buy-in, then everyone else has to fall in line, right? You can't say anything when LeBron says shut up and listen to the guy. You shut up and listen to him. So maybe this is the situation that if Redick ends up in, I don't know, what's another place that has a job? Like, because good jobs normally don't come open, right? It's usually crappy teams. So LA doesn't suck. They're a, you know, somewhere between a 5 and an 8 seed. But let's say he takes over, I don't know, Sacramento, or he takes over New Orleans. We'll go New Orleans. New Orleans finished right behind LA. So you take New Orleans. And immediately you come in, Zion and CJ and Brandon Ingram don't know J.J. Redick from squat, maybe. You know, if they have any. So, although Redick did play in New Orleans, didn't he? But whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go into a roster like that with a lot of young guys, and if you don't have a personal relationship with them, or you did play with them, and maybe they didn't love you or whatever, instantly you have an uphill battle getting a bunch of 24, 25, 26-year-olds to buy into what you're selling. Whereas you go to L.A., and as long as LeBron's cool with it and signs off on it, there is instant credibility there, and maybe that gives you a better chance.
I would disagree a little bit and say good jobs don't come open. In the NBA, they do. I mean, the Suns just swapped coaches.
Is that a good job? Is that a good job?
Well, I mean, it's...
The Milwaukee one. Yeah,
that's
a good one.
It's certainly a relevant job, Phoenix. I mean, you got Kevin Durant. Boston switch coaches a couple years ago. Sixers, didn't the Sixers swap out? I mean, I think the good coach, the good coaching jobs actually come up more often, because oftentimes when a good team is underachieving or just not getting, you know, titles, basically, they blame the coach. And that's the easiest thing to switch out. Yeah, so that's true. I would,
you know what? Much like my Albert Pujols, Alex Rodriguez, you've convinced me.
Well, we're only an hour in. You've been wrong twice.
I roll back. Yeah.
But at least you can admit it.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm never wrong.
Because you think about it, that's, I guess, it just, in my mind, most of the time that jobs do come open, and I still think it's the vast majority of them, they're terrible jobs. It's the Charlottes and the, you know, places like that, because they just stink. That's true in the NFL, too. A lot of bad jobs out there. But you're right, in the NBA, maybe again because of the pressure and it's the easiest guy to blame, there are better jobs that come rolling out there.
Now, the list of, I saw a list of the other coaches besides J.J. Redick, who are former players who have been hired with zero coaching experience in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And that means head coach or assistant coach. And the list is four long, Redick being the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Rivers.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Larry Bird.
I do remember that one. And Larry, by the way, Larry was a good coach. In fact, watch me be wrong for a third time today, which is
shocking.
In an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, I'm having a banner run. I believe that Larry Bird was named NBA Coach of the Year. Larry was a good coach.
We're going to have to check you on that.
Yeah. Because most great players, the Magic Johnsons of the world, they don't make great coaches.
Who took the Pacers to the finals? Is that Bird or somebody else? Was it like Rick Smits?
He was coach of the year. You're correct.
Yeah.
97-98.
He didn't coach that long.
And he led the Pacers to the finals in 2000.
There so you he go. Was. And I also believe that Larry might have, I'm going to say might have, because I'm not as certain about this one. I think he also won executive of the year.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
So Larry's the balls.
So Bird, Rivers, Mark Jackson, and Jason Kidd. And all of those guys, pretty good coaches.
Well, and
you know?
Yeah.
And Kerr is not on the list, and I wondered why. I still kind of don't know why Kerr isn't on here.
I thought he should have been.
But I think it's a technicality. I think the reason Steve Kerr isn't listed here is because he had previously coached the Warriors Summer League team.
Ah.
And so I think they're counting that as, quote, NBA experience.
Well, Chaunce had one year. He did? Yeah, he annoyed
Was he an assistant?
He annoyed his way into some sort of weird quality control thing on the Clippers staff because of a personal relationship.
Oh,
and then the
right.
next year he got hired.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, point being, it can work. Just a former player who has a good high basketball IQ and other players respect.
On Kerr's Wikipedia, it just says Golden State is his only job.
Yeah, but like I said, I think it was the Summer League.
Summer League. So we give him credit for that?
Well, he had some NBA experience.
I love it.
All right. Coming up next, who led the Pac-12 in all sports attendance?
I got two teams I'm going to throw out there.
We'll get to that when we return. It is 3:58 on The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.